Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 37. Hebrews 10, 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his precious word. As you and I read the Gospels, and as we read the epistles, we notice the Lord's coming in three different ways. Number one, he came us to the past. And then number two, he's coming us to the present. And then number three, he's coming us to the future. As you and I read 1 Timothy chapter 1, it's the thought of Christ's coming and it's the past. When you and I read Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, it's the thought of the Lord's coming and it's the present. But when you and I read Hebrews chapter 10, we have the thought of the Lord's coming and remember it's the future. So Christ came as to the past. Christ wants to come as to the present. And remember, the Lord Jesus is going to come as to the future. Now what I want to do very quickly this morning is this. Why did Christ come as to the past? That's the first thing we're going to discuss this morning in the fear of God. Why did Christ come us to the past? Now you read Matthew's Gospel, and you read Mark's Gospel, and read Luke's Gospel, and read John's Gospel, and you'll discover why Christ came us to the past. Now let's take a verse from each of those Gospels and notice why Christ came us to the past. There's a verse in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 17. It says this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And one of the reasons why Christ came in the past was in order that he might fulfill the law and the prophets. And remember, Christ did fulfill the law. And remember, Christ did fulfill the prophets. So that's one reason why he came in the past, as seen in Matthew's Gospel. But come now to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 45. You read a verse like this. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for the many. And another reason why Christ came in the past was in order that he might minister and might give his life a ransom for the many. Come now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10. You read a verse like this. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So why did Christ come in the past? He came in order that he might seek and save that which is lost. Now come to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 47, and you read a verse like this. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. When I was a child at Sunday school, and that wasn't yesterday, we used to have a favourite chorus, and it went something like this. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. And when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. So remember, number one, Christ came in the past, and the reason why he came in the past was in order that sinners might be reached and saved. But let me give you three thoughts in relation to his father. Why did Christ come in the past? In order that he might dwell with the Father. In order that he might delight the Father. And in order that he might declare the Father. Three reasons why Christ came in the past in relation to the Father. Now, I'm one today who believes this. I believe the bosom of the Father was always the dwelling place of Christ. It's the place of nearness. It's the place of fellowship. It's the place of communion. And the hymn writer was right when he penned those words. He who knew the Father's bosom as his dwelling place. So Christ came in order that he might dwell with the Father. But then secondly, Christ came in order that he might delight the Father. Listen to one verse from John's Gospel. The Father that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please the Father. And not only did he dwell with the Father, but remember, Christ delighted the Father. But then thirdly, very quickly, Christ declared the Father. I've been enjoying creation this week. I used to think the west coast of Canada, nothing could touch it. But I think I've changed my mind now. And I'm not a Canadian and I'm not an American, but I've changed my mind now. But remember, it takes Christ to declare the Father. They that have seen me, they have seen the Father. So Christ came in the past, and Christ dwelt with the Father. Christ came in the past, and Christ delighted the Father. And Christ came in the past, and Christ declared the Father. But then, another reason why Christ came in the past. He came to do the will of his Father. Listen to this verse very quickly. I came down out of heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, three things about the will of God in the life of Christ. Number one, it was his delight. It was the thing he enjoyed doing. It was his delight. But then number two, it was his diet. It was the thing that he fed upon. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It was his diet. But you know, it was his decision. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So why did Christ come in the past? To dwell with the Father. To delight the Father, to declare the Father. To do the will of his Father in heaven. But my point this morning is this. Christ came in the past in order that sinners might be reached and saved. Listen to my verse. This is a faithful saying. It is worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul adds, of whom I am chief. So Christ came in the past in order that sinners might be reached and saved. But let me come to my second thought very quickly. Christ wants to come presently. And if he came in the past to save us, he wants to come now presently in order that he might sup with us. Is that not what Revelation 3:20 said? I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. If this was a Bible reading, and it's not. But if this was a Bible reading, and the question was asked, you give me one word for Christianity. What's the word you would give for Christianity? I would give one word this morning, and that's the word fellowship. What is Christianity? Three things. Number one, it's fellowship with the Father. Number two, it's fellowship with the Son. And number three, it's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. My father used to have a favourite hymn. It went like this, the chorus. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And I would say this morning. If I enjoy fellowship with the Father, and I'm enjoying fellowship with the Son, and I'm enjoying fellowship with the Spirit, you and I will enjoy fellowship the one with the other. Malachi 3:16, is it? They that feared the Lord, they spake one to another. Often is in italics. I come to John chapter 14 and I read three things. I read about the coming of the Spirit. I read about the coming of the Son. And I read about the coming of the Father. All three comings in John chapter 14. Now listen to the question. In John chapter 14 the question is put, and the question is this. How wilt thou manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? In other words, how will you sup with us? How will you have fellowship with us, and not with the world? Now notice three things in John's Gospel. The Lord manifests himself to Mary in John's Gospel. And he manifests himself to the 11 in John's Gospel. And he manifests himself to the 7 in John's Gospel. Now how does he manifest himself to Mary? You know, he just says one word. He says, Mary. And she responds, Rabboni, my master. You remember three things mark a sheep in John 10? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. I know my sheep and am known of them. And when Christ makes himself known to Mary, remember, number one, he does it by word. But what about the 11? Remember, he showed them his hands. And John says, his side. And Luke says, his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. In Mary, I'll do it by words. But in the 11, I'll do it by wounds. Come now to the 7 in John 21. You remember that picture? When John saw the multitude of fishes, John said, "It is the Lord." So the question is asked, how wilt thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Number one, I'll do it by words as seen in Mary. I'll do it by wounds as seen in the 11. But I'll do it by works as seen in the 7. So remember, Christ came in the past in order to save us. Christ wants to come presently in order to sup with us. But you know he's coming in the future. Now why does he want to come in the future? Number one, his coming in the future will satisfy him. You remember Isaiah 53? He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he's going to be perfectly satisfied. And when Christ comes for his own, Christ will be satisfied. But what about you and I? Listen this morning to the words of David. As for me, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. So Christ came in the past in order to save us. Christ wants to come presently in order to sup with us. But remember, Christ is coming in the future. And remember, he's coming, he'll be satisfied, and you and I will be perfectly satisfied. Then we shall be where we would be, and then we shall be what we should be. But Christ is coming presently. Now I'm going to think about the person who is coming, number one. I'm going to think about the place to where he is coming the next time, number two. I'm going to think about the people for whom he is coming, number three. And I'm going to think about a pattern that should mark those who await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me say four things very quickly. Four times in the Bible I read a phrase like this. Till I come. Now four times in your Bible you read that phrase, till I come. Now where do you read it? You turn to Luke chapter 19, you read a verse like this. Occupy till I come. And every Christian ought to be busy, ought to serve God with joy and with gladness, in sincerity and in truth, with reverence and with godly fear. Comes to my mind this morning. Three things we have to do continually. First Chronicles 16, you seek God and seek him continually. You turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and you sacrifice to God and you sacrifice continually. But you turn to Daniel chapter 6 and you read about Daniel and you read those words. The God whom thou servest continually. So continually, I have to seek God. And continually, I have to sacrifice to God. And continually, I have to serve God. Occupy till I come. Luke 19. But come now to John chapter 21. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter? If I will, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And every Christian has to follow Christ. And every Christian has to follow Christ and has to follow him until he comes. Then thirdly, there's a verse in 1 John 2, it says this, that which thou hast, I want you to hold it fast, and I want you to hold it fast until I come. Now remember, sometimes in the Bible you have to stand fast. Sometimes in the Bible you have to run fast. But sometimes in the Bible you have to hold fast. And the truth that has been disposited to you and I, we have to hold it fast, and we have to hold it fast until he comes. And then the well-known verse of 1 Corinthians 11. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. So four things mark every Christian till he comes. We serve him. We follow him. That which we have, we hold it fast. And we remember him in the breaking of the bread and in the drinking of the cup. And remember, we do it, and we do it until he comes. Now, number one, let's think about the person who is coming. You know, it's the Lord himself. He's not going to send an angel. And he's not going to send an archangel. He's going to come himself. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now who is the person that's coming? He's coming a shepherd. Because remember, he's the chief shepherd. And he's coming a savior. And he's coming a son. And he's coming a sovereign. I could prove that today from the Bible. We won't prove it. But remember, that's the person who is coming. But then secondly, very quickly, what place is he coming to the next time the Lord Jesus Christ comes? Now remember, he's not coming to the earth. He's coming to the air. Listen to one verse from the Bible. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming to the air. Just a little longer, and the trump of God will sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to heaven, your redemption draweth nigh. Just a little longer, and we're going to meet him in the skies. Now thirdly, very quickly, who is Christ coming for? I want to make this very clear this morning. Every sinner that has been cleansed by precious blood, every sinner that has been saved by sovereign grace, They're going to go when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now let me tell you four things this morning very quickly. Number one, you know, we're all going to hear the call. You remember John chapter 11? Lazarus, come forth. Now he didn't walk out. His hands were bound. And his feet were bound. But it says, Lazarus came forth. I tell you today, dear child of God, number one, we're all going to hear the call. There's a verse in Song of Songs, chapter 2, listen to it. Arise, my love, my fair ones, and come away. So we're all going to hear the call. But then number two, we're all going to know a change. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's three moments in the New Testament. You turn to Luke chapter 4 and you read about a moment. You turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and you read about a moment. You turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and you read about a moment. What kind of a moment do you read about in Luke chapter 4? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. In a moment of time. So in Luke chapter 4 I read about a moment of time. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and I read about a moment of trial. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So in Luke 4, a moment of time. 2 Corinthians 4, a moment of trial. But 1 Corinthians 15, it's a moment of triumph. We shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now what's the change? This corruption must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Now, for example, if Christ had to come now, what would happen? Every dead saint would arise. And every living saint would be changed. And those who had died would be able to say, O grave, where is thy victory? And those of us alive would be able to say, O death, where is thy sting? We're all going to hear the call. We're all going to experience a change. You know, we're all going to be caught up. What's the Christian life? The Christian life is a life of ups and downs. Some day we're hot, the next day we're cold. One day we're on the mountain, the next day we're in the valley. One day we're happy, the next day we're sad. The Christian life is a life of ups and downs. But was it Harry Bell that said, thank God the last one's going to be an up. We're going to be caught up in clouds. to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But you know, I've one thing better. Oh yes, we're all going to hear the call. And we're all going to experience a change. And we're all going to be caught up. Let me say this. Every one of us, we're going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. You know, God had one Son. And so pleased was God with that one Son. Someday he's going to make millions like him. And we're going to be like him morally. And we're going to be like him physically. And we're going to be like him eternally. And perhaps as one. He came in the past in order to save us. He wants to come presently in order that he might sup with us. But thank God he's going to come in the future. And he's going to be satisfied. And you and I are going to be perfectly satisfied. What did we read today? In a very little while, he that shall come will come and shall not.